So I'm very happy to be with you here today in this beautiful and cool day. But I'm sure it will warm up. And it's kind of good. It will keep our mind bright. Because if it's a little too hot, it can wilt a little. And so what we're going to do today is that I will talk for about 25 minutes. Then we will have some sitting meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation again, then a discussion. And then we'll finish with a walking meditation in the morning. And then in the afternoon we'll do something similar. And so the theme, because this is one of the things with this day long, we need to have a theme. So this is the way it is. So, you know, I am maybe in Australia, or I don't know where I am, in the middle of nowhere, and then I get this, you know, what's the theme? So the theme for today is meditation and mindfulness. So in a way, trying to look at the basic of how to meditate, and looking at to see how we need mindfulness to meditate, and how mindfulness helps us to develop meditation, that the meditation and the mindfulness are really kind of very close together. So this morning I want to talk more about meditation, and this afternoon I will try to explore more the mindfulness. But the two of them are very much, in terms of the awareness, Vipassana tradition, they're very connected with each other. So the first thing I'd like to talk about, actually, is what I call cultivation and effect. The fact that when we do meditation, we are trying to cultivate something. But often what happens is that we are barely meditated for 2 minutes, that we start to check the meditation. Is this working? You know, I read in a book, you're supposed to experience this and that. Is this working? So you barely done 2 minutes and already you're checking the effect of it. It's a bit like trying to drive for 2 minutes and checking, you know, when you learn to drive, or if you learn to play the piano after 2 minutes, am I playing like, you know, some great pianist? Generally not. So the thing is that, of course, when we do the meditation, we do it because we want to have certain effect. Of course. There is no doubt about that. You're not doing this because you have nothing better to do. And if only you had known, you would have gone to do golf or whatever it is. So yes, there are effects in meditation. But generally, I would say they're relatively subtle. And the one you could try out to notice is after the 30 minutes of sitting meditation or after 30 minutes of walking meditation, to notice how you feel in your whole body and mind, in your whole organism. And generally what you feel is what I call the effect. We feel a little release. We feel a little more stability, a little more openness. So I would say, at the end of the 30 minutes, yes, please do check, but not every 2 minutes during the meditation, because that's not meditating, it's checking. That's something else. And also what, of course, a meditation can help is to diminish the speed, the length, the intensity of our painful, difficult habits. But meditation is not like a magic wand. It is not going to eradicate them. And people say to me, I've been meditating for 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, and I'm still angry. I think it's good that you feel angry time to time. It's kind of quite energetic, you know. You know, because it's a normal feeling. The meditation is not trying to, for you to have no thought, no feeling, no sensation, but to bring them back more to their creative functioning. So what we're trying is not to eradicate anything, but we're trying to dissipate certain painful tendency. So if it's a cultivation, what is it we're cultivating? We basically, when we sit in meditation, we are cultivating. There are some chairs here and one here. So we are cultivating concentration and inquiry. I think it's very important to see that's what we're doing. Whatever meditation we do, if it's a Buddhist meditation, generally it will have these two elements. You might have heard about them as samatha and vipassana. And what's interesting, each term is actually covering the two aspects of cultivation and effort. Samatha, concentration, can mean both concentrating and being calm. Vipassana can mean both looking deeply and having an understanding, having an insight. But I think it's more important when we cultivate to just focus on the cultivating aspect, which is to concentrate, to focus, to look deeply, and to try to inquire experientially. And in the end, we are cultivating the meditation in order, I would say, to remove the obstacle to our wisdom and compassion, so that in a way the fixity, the holding dissolve, and then we can cultivate, manifest, develop the wisdom and compassion we are capable of. And in a way, the more we manifest it, the more it develops. That's what is interesting also with the meditation. So in a way, doing the concentration and the looking deeply help us to develop what I call creative awareness, creative mindfulness. And that at the same time, the mindfulness, we need the mindfulness to be focused, to pay attention. We need the mindfulness to look deeply. And doing that will make that we have more mindfulness. But I'll talk more about this afternoon. So concentration. Concentration is about focusing on an object in our experience. Let it be the breath, the sensations, the sound. There are no sacred objects. If you are used to the breath, this is fine. If you prefer to do body scanning, this is fine. If you prefer to do listening meditation, that again is also a good meditation. And who knows, we might have the opportunity to do listening meditation to the chicken. That might be a little change in London. So samatha, concentration, focusing, developing a certain calm. And often people will say, you sit in meditation, you try to focus on your breath, and generally within a minute, few seconds depending, you think of something else. And often you will say, I cannot concentrate. You know, I am not able to concentrate. And the meditation proves that I cannot concentrate. And I would say not. I would say generally, actually, you concentrate too much in your daily life. If you look, you can easily become obsessed by something. And if you become obsessed by somebody, by something they said, something at work, whatever it is, you cannot think of anything else. This is concentration. This one could say is too much concentration. Because when you do this, generally you are overwhelmed. You are caught in that obsession. You get kind of into that mono mind, tunnel vision. You cannot have any space for anything else. But the concentration we're talking about in meditation is very different. It is not obsessing about the breath, the sensation, or the sound. It's actually using the breath, the sensation, and the sound as an anchoring device, as a tool of mindfulness, as a tool of awareness. So the point when we concentrate is not necessarily to grip the object. I must stay with the breath, I can't stay with the breath, this is not working. That's not the idea. The object is more as a mean to anchor us, to ground us, something we can go back to. So then what you do in meditation most of the time is to come back. So you are with the breath or the sensation of the sound, then you go away. Then because you have the intention to be aware, then you come back. Then you go again. Then you come back. But that actually is the effect. One of the most powerful effects of meditation reside just in that simple coming back. Because each time you come back, each time you're not feeding the mental habit. And at the same time, you're dissolving their power. So you see, you could have 1,000 thoughts. And 1,000 times you would come back. And so 1,000 times you would dissipate the power of the habit. So to see, do not be worried if you have thought. The only thing you could slightly consider is what I could call in London, you can easily have that little motto, mind the gap. How long do you go away? This is a little the question. So at the beginning, we go away for a bit of time. After a while, we go away for a very short time, a few seconds, and then we come back. And to see that the meditation is not about stopping the mind, because we have thought. No, if you want to sit on the floor, please come here. You'll be more comfortable.
There's a chair over there.
So, in a way, the concentration is actually not to become like tomato concentrated paste, but more as an anchoring device. So that, notice you come back to the breath, you come back to everything in that moment. And this is what happened with the meditation, is that we've been coming back, we cultivate spaciousness. Instead of having kind of what I call spinning, we come back to the breath. Then we spin a little, but not so far, not so long. Then we come back. So that's what this concentration is really about. Then, of course, we have different types of concentration. You have what I call exclusive concentration and inclusive concentration. And I think if you go on intense retreat, then it could be the opportunity to cultivate exclusive concentration and to really go into what I call deep meditative state. But personally, I'm not sure that it's so helpful to do that in daily life. Recently, somebody told me, I thought, a wonderful story of that. She went to the gym and she was doing the treadmill. You cannot do this. And then she tried to just be aware of the breath. Is there a chair free? So she was on the treadmill and she just learned meditation. So she wanted to try meditation on the treadmill. So she closed her eyes, watched her breath, and ran on the treadmill and falls off. This is what I call exclusive concentration, which is not very helpful in daily life, because in daily life you have lots of things going on. And so I think that it's generally better to cultivate inclusive concentration, which is a concentration where you have the object as an anchor, but in the background you have wide open awareness. So let's say you are on your breath 70%, and then in the background you're aware of the thought, the feeling, the sensation arising and passing away, so that you're not forcing yourself to just be with the breath and exclude everything else. You actually rest your attention on the breath and then in the background let everything come and go. And of course, time to time, you will stick to one of these things in the background. A thought, a sensation, a sound, a feeling. And of course you will go away a bit. Then you remember your intention, then you come back again and again. And then when you come back, again you come back to everything else instead of just sticking to one of the elements. So I would say, in a way, we have the foreground, which is the breath, the sensation or the sound, and then the background, which is everything else around us. And then to see that whatever arises in any given moment is information. I think it's very important, and that's where the mindfulness, in a way, comes in. When you focus in, then you're taken away by something, a feeling, a thought, a sensation, a sound. And to see, what do I do? And to see that a lot of the time we spin. A lot of the time we spin, but what I would call kind of, you know, spinning, kind of like treading water, kind of using energy for not doing very much. Because a lot of the time, if you can notice in meditation, if you look at what you think, I mean, it's rarely original. You know? Generally, I've thought it before. Fairly repetitive. So possibly you could see, you know, doing a little meditation as a little holiday from this kind of what I think generally, you know, and just trying to be with the breath. So you're not judging the thought, you're not fighting the thought, but you see, I have thought this before. Maybe, you know, I can go back to the breath. It's not so urgent to think this thought. This is not going to change the universe if I have that thought. And I could possibly come back to the breath. So come back, kind of trying to see, in a way, what is it that distracts me? And to see, oh, well, I might not necessarily need to stay with that. And then gently, I can come back to the breath. Then it happens again. Maybe not that, not now. Then I come back to the breath. So very much that is the work, the cultivation of concentration. Then, just quickly, to see that, I mean, you have mental habits, emotional habits, physical habits, but one of the things you can notice the most when you sit in meditation is that either you do daydreaming, which is very enjoyable. Time flies very fast. Or you do ruminating about something negative in the past and then you plan revenge in the future, which is not very good. Or you plan where you're going to walk, your holiday, your retirement. Or you also plan conversation. That's a good one. You sit in meditation, planning conversation, kind of occupies ourselves. To see that all these are just creative functions. You know, it's imagining, reflecting, planning is useful. But do we need to do it as much? So in a way, the concentration, one of its effects, is that it brings back to the creative functioning. That if I don't do it as a habit, just reading, spinning, but then it comes back more to creative function. When I want to imagine, I do so. When I want to reflect, I do so. When I want to plan, I do so. But I don't plan incessantly, obsessively, so much so that I remember the planning of the planning of the planning. And then you easily get an ulcer if you do that. So the focusing is to help us to be more calm, to bring space in the mind, to dissolve the habituating, the patterning. Then you have the looking deeply, which is also very important. And the looking deeply is really going into the experience. And it's actually penetrating into the experience and noticing its aspects. But it's kind of not being like above the experience or being an idea about the experience. It's really going inside. So in a way, with the thought, it's like being aware of the texture of the thought. Being aware that the thought changed. With the sensation, is being aware that if you have a pain in the knee, for example, you go inside the sensation and try to experience how it changes. It's not like a block. It's fluid, changing, moving. If you have a feeling, if you go in around your heart area and you have a funny feeling, and generally funny feeling, meaning, sadness is like another storyline, spinning. And instead with the meditation, just how does it feel, this feeling? Not what is it, what the name, what the designation, but how does it feel inside my body? Is it heavy? Is it agitated? How does it change it? That's what is interesting with feeling, how it changes. The same with pain. It changes. It's not exactly the same. And so in a way, we can do this looking deeply in two different ways. Either we look at the changing nature of the object itself. The breath, you can notice, It comes in a little cooler through the nostril, comes out a little warmer. That's one way you can notice that. Or with the sensation, if you pay attention to the body, to notice how the sensations arise and pass away, change within themselves. If you listen to sound, again, you can see the sound arising, passing away. And then if the sound continues, you can see within itself it changes. And why is it important? I know things change, we know things change. But it's important to really be aware of it in order not to fight with it. Because a lot of the time we fight change. And then this creates a lot of suffering. And the idea is to, in a way, accompany change, flow with change, creatively engage with change through the mindfulness, through the meditation. And in a way to dissipate this tendency we have, it's always like this. I will always have a headache. I will always be sad. I will always. It will never change. And often then we do what I call pasting and fustering. It's always been like this. It will always be like that. And then it's really, it fixes you. It's very difficult to creatively engage with that. And so through the meditation, we're really trying to be just in tune. So it's not like a major scientific discovery. We're not trying, you know, to look at the atoms or looking at the string theory or whatever. It's very simple. Just noticing very gently that things change. That's all. So that the concentration is to rest the attention. The looking deeply, the experiential inquiry is to see, to experience. Oh yes, I had this pain, now it's gone. Now it's changed. You have an itch on the cheek. It's so itchy. You want to scratch it, but you don't. You just sit there. And you go inside it. So itchy, you have the feeling it lasts forever. And then it's so gone. So gone. To have that experience of something being so there and something being so gone, I think it's very important. Because then in daily life, it will help us to be with our thought, feeling, sensation in a less fixed way, in a more creative, flowing way. So you can look at the object in the foreground, or you can notice, in terms of the looking deeply, the experiential inquiry, that in the background, the thought, the feeling, the sensation, the sounds are arising and passing away. So it's a little where you want to focus. It's up to, if the object changes enough, then you can look at the object in that. Otherwise, you just notice, oh, I was thinking about that. Oh, now I'm thinking about this. Oh, I had this feeling. Now I have that feeling. We're not looking at why you have the thought, why you have the feeling, but just that you have them. And that they change. That's all. That's the cultivation. And so when we cultivate that, then this will transform our attitude over time. That we will be less fixing, less solidifying. And then it will be more creative. And then we can really develop what I would call creative awareness, creative mindfulness. So this is what I would suggest we do this morning. In the sitting, in the walking, to try to be aware, just to concentrate, to focus in this restful way, not tensing, but trying to concentrate. You have to sit because on the floor, because we're lacking chairs.
We'll be getting some more chairs.
Yeah. We'll get more chairs during the walking period. And so that's what we're going to do today, this morning. It's to really try to focus on the breath or the sensation on the sound. I think it's very important for you, if you used to do the breath, just to do the breath. If you like to do body scanning, do that. If you prefer to do listening meditation, you do that. I think it's important that you use these day longs to do the meditation that seems to suit you, that you're not tense trying to do it. So that you can either easily find the breath, experience the breath, have that sensation of the breath coming in, coming out, If you are asthmatic, I would not recommend to do watching the breath, because often it gives you a headache or tense. If you have lots of pain in the body, body scanning could be useful or not for you to see, as long as if you focus, it does not intensify, or to focus on the part of the body which is not painful. And if you do listening meditation, I would recommend it for most people, but if you have tinnitus, ringing in the ear, I would not recommend it in an indoors. Outdoors can be okay, but not indoors. Generally, it's not so good. So again, what is it that suits me with my condition, with how I feel right now? That's what I would suggest. And then to also notice either the changing nature of the object or in the foreground, the changing nature of the feeling, the thought, the sensation, the sound. So that's what I'd like for us to do this morning. Are there any kind of, is it clear or is there any question about that? Okay, so then are there any beginners in the room? People who have never done meditation before? Okay, so at the end of the first meditation sitting, we'll gather here and then we'll have a little 10-minute chat to see if you kind of if you have any question or whatever, just to make clear. Okay, so if we just stand up just for a minute.